something my friend, a nurse, told me once happened to her. So, apparently, before they die, all of her patients end up being pulled to the ground. No matter how much she returns them back to the middle of their beds, they always end up back on the ground. When I asked her why, she said, "Because something is pulling their legs." Another time, she was looking at the monitor when an ambulance arrived at the hospital, and suddenly she saw this person, covered in blood, looking right at her. Their face took up the whole screen, but the camera for that monitor was set so high that people couldn't reach it. Apparently, the person she saw was the patient in the ambulance at that time. Hey guys, I'm your host, Tara A. Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Koobana, true Japanese scary stories from around the internet. Before we get started today, I have a quick announcement. If you head over to koobana.net, you can now download Issue 0 of Kaidanshi, our new monthly Japanese horror magazine, for free. Kaidanshi will be available on our Patreon each month for just $1, and inside you'll find exclusive translations you won't find anywhere else, including on this show, as well as brand new translations of old Edo ghost stories, a variety of articles on urban legends, ghost spots, bizarre crimes, and more. You can download Issue 0 for free right now, so head over to koobana.net to grab your copy. Now, on this week's episode, we're going to be looking at supernatural experiences in the workplace. I thankfully never experienced anything unnatural while I was at work, but it's not uncommon to hear of hauntings, especially in old buildings or in companies with a long and occasionally dubious history. Our first story for this week is about a young man who was working part-time as a delivery driver for a sushi shop. When he gets a call to a well-known haunted apartment building, however, his night takes a quick turn for the worse. Find out what happens in Delivery at the Ghost Residence. When I was going to vocational school, I worked part-time as a delivery driver for a sushi shop. One of the branch stores had a guy that often had accidents, so every now and then, I would do deliveries in his stead. Now, to change the subject for a moment, there was a haunted apartment that was famous across the entire prefecture in the area where I lived. It was rather large, and someone once called it the Ghost Residence, and the name stuck, especially with the guys that liked that sort of thing, you know? It was located in the middle of the city, and although the rooms were lavish, there was always a large number of empty ones. It was strange because, during the worst times, up to 4 apartments on a single floor would be sold at the same time, and the owner's gone. Anyway, we got an order from there one day, and of course, I didn't want to take it. But I was new, and the place stood out, so it was easy to find, and thus it came to me. I got in the car and drove over, and when I got there, the lights in the elevator hall were off, despite it being a rather large apartment building. I pushed the button for the 9th floor, not worrying about it, to let the person know I had their sushi. But no matter how many times I rang the buzzer, no one answered. It was around 9 p.m. Maybe they had to go out suddenly, I thought. I rang the buzzer over and over, and then decided to call the store and let them know. Ring it again, and if no one comes out, come back to the store, the boss said. I went back and got in the elevator. Just then, a tipsy man in a suit jogged over and ran in. He bowed his head slightly and asked me, "What floor?" "The 9th," I told him. "Ah, me too," he smiled. "What room?" "Room." When I answered, he suddenly jumped back in shock. "Does my breath smell?" I wondered. The man's face turned serious all of a sudden. "That room's empty. The person who lived there killed themselves last week." His face turned completely pale. "You're kidding, right?" I said, thinking he was just joking because he was drunk. Then we arrived at the 9th floor. The man's apartment was right next to the elevator. The apartment in question was 3 rooms down from that. I made my way towards it, and the man watched me from his front door, a worried look on his face. I rang the doorbell several times, but there was no sound or sign of movement from inside. I gave up, rushing back to the elevator when I heard the man call out to me again. "Are you sure it was that room? Not the next floor down or up?" I checked several times, but the last name for the order was only on that floor. "Oh, no way. How scary," the man screamed and ran back inside. I went back to the car like I was told, put the food back inside, and returned to the store. When I did, the manager was extremely upset with me. Apparently, there was a call from the customer. I kept waiting, but no one's coming. The manager got pissed off and thought I went to the wrong place, but I told him what happened and how no one came to get the food. Impossible. I bowed my head in apology, and in the end, he didn't believe me. We went back to the building together and rang the doorbell. Of course, no one answered. There was a nameplate on the door, but no matter how many times we rang, there was no answer. It was just before 10 p.m. I went to talk to the man I saw earlier and stopped in front of his apartment by the elevator. "Are you sure it's that room?" the manager asked. "Yes," I replied. The manager pointed to the front door. The man's apartment was also empty. I finished work early that day, and I haven't even gone near that building since what happened. But every now and then, I catch sight of it, and it still creeps me out. Our next story is about a man who was out drinking with a colleague when he runs into some former workmates. His colleague soon makes excuses to leave, and when he finds out why, the reason shocks him. Find out what happens in Revenge of the Living Spirits. I was drinking with my colleague A at a bar when this happened. By chance, we ran into some of my old workmates from a former workplace. We parted on good terms, and I was friendly with them. So, while I didn't join them, several guys came over and we shared drinks. We ate fried chicken and sashimi together and so on. But before long, A said he wasn't feeling very well, so we left the bar a little earlier than expected. "Are you okay?" I asked him when we got outside. "The section manager from your former job. That guy that came over and poured us a drink. He's no good," he said suddenly. "What? Why?" I asked. "That guy's being haunted by three ikkyo. You know, living spirits. When that happens to a person, it's all over. That's why I felt sick all of a sudden," he said. "Ikkyo? Seriously? You can tell that?" I asked. And apparently, he could. "Like, there are people you meet, and after talking to them for a few minutes, or even just at first glance, you feel something is off about them, right? It's not like they look bad or anything. Just a feeling," A started to explain. "Those types of people are being haunted by something. But that section manager, it's the first time I've ever seen anything like that." "Is it really that bad?" "Yeah. There's nothing anyone can do for him anymore." "When you say ikkyo, you mean like resentment, yeah?" I couldn't believe it. I mean, yeah, my former section chief wasn't a guy I could respect or anything, but was he really being haunted by three powerful living spirits? "Yeah, but it might be more accurate to say implacability, or rather, a grudge, I guess." "So you mean somewhere three people are playing with a straw effigy or something?" "No, that's not it. They just have to think about it." "But if you have such intense resentment towards someone, don't you also have to pay a price for it?" "Not at all," A said. "They're already paying for that resentment in the form of harassment, sexual harassment, and abuse in the workplace. They're paying for it in ways I can't even describe." "So you're saying all they have to do is think about wanting him dead, and then their living spirits start haunting him?" "That's right," A agreed. "Scary, isn't it?" "Yeah, I guess so," I thought. I could understand why people would hold resentment towards him, but there was something else I wanted to know as well. "Hey, am I being haunted by any ikkyo?" "I can only see your grandparents," A said. "You should make sure to look after the elderly, you know." I was hoping it might have been a hot young lady. Finally, I asked A the biggest thing that was still on my mind. "So, the three living spirits that are haunting him, who are they?" "One's a woman," A said. "She seems quiet and shy, and something really terrible happened to her." Come to think of it, workers at my last workplace rotated quite often. According to the rumors, if the section chief didn't like someone, they were fired. "The other two are men," A continued. "One is constantly focused on him, That's the most dangerous type. When you become obsessed with feelings of resentment, it starts to affect your daily life as well. Then things get even worse. His resentment is going to be his own downfall. So, focusing on nothing but your resentment would ruin your own life as well, huh? This guy really knew just the right things to say, I thought. The other guy is you. Huh? Me? Yeah. Actually, I could see that. I often thought about how I wanted that section chief to die. But, putting that aside, A really was amazing. He was the real deal. He really could see things. Ever since then, I've started to believe in the power of the supernatural. Our last story for this week is about another university student who is working part-time as a delivery driver. He gets a call for an unfamiliar address, and when he heads out, the place isn't exactly what he expected. But that's not the end of it. Not even close. Find out what happens in Student Apartment. This happened when I was a university student. I was working a part-time catering job in a cafe near where I lived. The catering was just a side job to the main business, so I did all the phone, packing, and delivering myself. Basically, anything that wasn't cooking. Most of our customers were students like me, who lived nearby. And after a year of working there, I knew pretty much who everyone was and where they lived. One day, I was done with a few deliveries and about to leave as usual, when the phone rang. The call went as follows. Thank you for calling. This is... I'd like delivery, please. Thank you very much. If I could just get you to tell me your name, address, and phone number, please. There was no reply. I'd come across several people who couldn't accurately remember their own address, so I figured the caller was just looking it up. I wasn't especially bothered by it, so I waited. As expected, I received a reply a short while later. Eita, nani nani city, nani nani house number, 080. I was relieved. After that, I took the order as usual. I looked up the address, and the name indeed matched up with a nearby student apartment. I put the goods in the luggage carrier of my scooter, and about 5 minutes later, I saw the apartment near the start of a farm road. It was a rather large building I'd seen several times from afar, but this was my first time seeing it up close. It was a worn-down, four-story steel building, and just by looking at it, you could see it was falling apart. It was after 9 p.m., so it was rather late, but there wasn't a single light on. To be honest, I wouldn't have wanted to live there even if the rent was only 10,000 yen a month. It was at this point that I realized I'd made a rookie mistake. I forgot to ask which room number. Usually when this happened, I would call the customer directly from my cell phone, but most people refused to answer an unknown call from a cell. Feeling somewhat discouraged, I held the memo in one hand and made the call. The customer answered with surprising speed. "Hello, it's the manager's office. His intuition creeped me out, but I said thank you and opened the shoddy looking door and made my way inside. It was dark. The place was silent, like you might hear the sound of a car in the distance on a long, empty road. I couldn't sense anyone nearby. The corridor spread out in front of me, sliding doors lined up on each side, and the fluorescent light for the hallway was off. I didn't want to waste time searching for the light switch. I just wanted to get out of there. So I pressed forth and knocked on the door to the manager's office. The door rattled open. The light from the room filtered out into the hall. As I guessed from the voice, a tall, lanky man came to greet me. "Sorry for making you come all the way out here so late." The light from the room and his polite manner put me at ease. "It's dark out there, so honestly, I was a little scared coming here." I was able to regain my composure enough to have a joke with the guy. Delivery and payment went smoothly, and then I made my way back to the store. I chatted with the boss while I cleaned up, and waited for the store to close at 10 p.m. Then went to settle the day's sales as usual. I compared the sales slips and calculated everything on a calculator when I noticed I was missing more than 2,000 yen from my sales. Every now and then I turned up 10 yen short and could just secretly put that in from my own money, but more than 2,000 yen was a bit much. The owner, who was looking over my shoulder, tilted his head and asked me, "Do you have any idea what might have happened to it?" It was possible I dropped a note somewhere, but the amount seemed a bit half-cocked for that, so I again compared the balance from the day's delivery slips. I soon found the answer. It was the same amount of money I received from the guy at that old apartment. It was gone. I explained to the boss that it was possible I lost the money on the way back from the apartments, when he tilted his head again. "Are you sure you've got the right place? Check it again." I wasn't sure what he was getting at, but I checked it again and pointed out the address to the boss. He returned with a note full of student accommodation and landlord phone numbers. And while flicking through the pages, he muttered to himself. He didn't especially blame me for the difference, and after he cooked me a meal, I returned home. The boss usually spoke to me with a sharp tongue, and it wasn't until later that I found out why he treated me so kindly that day. At the start of my next shift, the boss gave me an order. "If this ATAR calls again, let him down gently, okay?" What he meant was to find an excuse to politely refuse his order. Our store dealt with prank phone calls and persistent complainers in such a way, but it seemed rather abrupt. "Did something happen?" I asked. "Well, it's probably gonna freak you out too," he said, and told me what happened over a cigarette. About 5 or 6 years earlier, a customer who frequented the store managed that apartment building. Because of that, many of the tenants were regular customers as well. But when the customer died, there was no one left to manage the building, and it was closed. It's not unheard of for student dorms to close down over the years, so it wasn't that unusual. but after hearing my story, the boss thought that perhaps a relative was opening the building for business again. So the next day he went over to say hello and take a look around. The building was a wreck, and no matter how he looked at it, there were no signs of anyone living there. He decided that I must have made a mistake and was about to leave when he suddenly heard a voice from the manager's room. "Come in." He froze, surprised, and nervously opened the door. Inside, the room was half rotted, and no matter how many times he called out, there was no answer. He ran from the place as fast as he could, despite the fact it was midday. But there was something he noticed there at his feet. It was the food I delivered the day before, scattered all over the ground. I didn't want to hear anything else, even if it was a ghost or something else entirely. I stood there and had a friendly chat with something I didn't understand, in a place I didn't understand either. Apparently, the boss called the phone number I took down as well, but nobody answered. Of course, I deleted the phone call from my phone after that. I quit a few months later. My official stance was that I'd been working there for a year and a half and wanted to try something new. But while I was working there, I couldn't help but keep thinking about what happened. On the day I decided to quit, about a month after those events, I again received a phone call from Aita. "Is this Mr. Aita?" I did my best to sound like the boss, but even as I tried to control it, my voice trembled. The boss guessed who it was and gestured for me to hand the phone over. He lied and told the guy that delivery services were temporarily cancelled. Just as he was about to hang up, I could see his face change. He turned to me and said one thing. "He's on his way here instead." I couldn't do it anymore. In the end, the person calling themselves Aita never showed up that day. I moved out into the city and quit my job. I haven't had anything to do with the place since. And that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter or Facebook for more news and updates throughout the week, or join our Patreon for early access to both this show and Toshiden, Exploring Japanese Urban Legends, as well as special bonus episodes you won't get anywhere else. You can head over to koobana.net to also grab your free issue of Kaidanshi right now. Thanks, guys, and I'll see you again next time on Koobana, True Japanese Scary Stories from Around the Internet. Want even more scary stories? Head over to koobana.net for new translations every week. You can also join our Patreon for exclusive stories you won't find anywhere else. Head over to koobana.net now.